Good singing this morning. And Brother Jason, come read the scripture for us.
All right, let's turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Man, what a great time of singing already this morning. Glorifying Christ. I was listening to a message this week, a pastor speaking, and he said a lot of times at church, if we're not careful, we treat Jesus like a visitor. He said, at my church, he said, I want Christ to be in the middle of everything. So I want him to be involved. And I tell you, we want the same thing here. And we glorify Christ as best we know how. And man, we not just want him to be a visitor, we want to invite him to run the whole show. And if he does, we know something great will happen. Joshua chapter 10 and verse 14 says this, and there was no day like that before or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord, and we do, Lord. We ask that you come into this service this morning, Lord, and Lord, when Jesus moves, Lord, things happen. Lord, we get uncomfortable maybe in our current life. Lord, need to change some things, Lord. Or, Lord, if we're not saved, Lord, someone here that's not saved, Lord, we pray that Jesus moves in their heart. And, Lord, moves through the message this morning. Lord, we understand completely, Lord, that it's not us. Lord God, it is Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we thank you for a chance to come and worship you. Lord, to sing to you. Lord, I don't want to, Lord, leave any ounce of energy left here this morning, Lord, in praising and worshiping you. And so, Lord, we give it all our heart in the singing and the, Lord, the praising you. Then, Lord, as we listen, Lord God, I pray the whole, Lord, if we're saved, the Holy Spirit within us speaks to us, Lord. And Lord, if we're not, Lord, those that are not saved, Lord God, I pray that your hand will work upon their lives, bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you take over the service today. Lord, we don't want you on the sidelines. Lord, we want you in the middle of this. In the middle of this message, Lord, we're looking forward to what's going to happen this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
I'm going to thank Brother Jason. And again, thanks for the music and the choir. And nice with the special. And then Mrs. Hayes with the offertory. So thank you for all of that this morning. We're in Joshua chapter 10. We've been moving through the book of Joshua and seeing what God does with the people of Israel and the victory that he gives them. This is about the victorious Christian life, and we've talked about that throughout the scripture. And we go, in fact, as we get into chapter 10, if you're looking at this from a geographical standpoint, when the people of Israel came into the land of Canaan, they, of course, the very first city they came to was Jericho, and they defeated that and then defeated those people, and then eventually took them out. They defeated Ai. And so basically, as they came and they sort of split the country in half, and now there's a southern part and a northern part. And so as we get in here to chapter 10, interesting, in fact, let's look at the first few verses by way of introduction here. In verse number 1 of chapter 10, says, "Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai, and utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jarmuth, and to Japhia, king of Lachish, and to Deber, king of Eglon, saying, Come up to me, and help me that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua, the children of Israel. In verse 5, the five kings of the Amorites, they gather there together to make war against Gibeon. So we get here to chapter 10, and what happens is this. Instead of Joshua now going from city to city, we have a group of five kings that gets together, and they all are going to come and attack Israel, and Gibeon there with them at the same time. I was thinking about that this morning and this week. You ever had that time where you felt like all your enemies gathered together, you know, and everything sort of hits you at one time? And you see all the things that are out there, and it's just there's different times in your life, and some of you may be going through it now. Others may have been other times. Man, I remember this. I was thinking about this. I was talking in Sunday school, I think last week. I was talking about when Jeremiah was born, and he was for 7 weeks there, he was in the NICU, and so we would each day we'd go and visit
there every day, drive up to the hospital and visit him while he was there in the NICU. But I, you know, I was thinking about this, I'd forgotten. So while he's in the NICU, my wife had come home from the hospital after he was born, and I remember she had a gallbladder attack. And so while he's in the NICU, we had to take her over there to the hospital, and she was in there for a couple days, had her gallbladder out. So she's in one part of the same hospital. She's over there in one part. He's over there in another. So we're sort of going back and forth. And you think, you know, as that's going on, and God was gracious through all that. But you look back at that man, you say, man, it seems like everything's coming at once. You may have had the same thing. I mean, you say, everything's coming at one time. Well, here in this passage, we have five different kings that are gathered together to fight against the people of Israel, to fight against Joshua all at one time. And again, it maybe just seems like everything's going wrong in your life, but all these enemies have come together. And so we've talked about the victorious Christian life. We talked about defeated Christian life. Last week we talked about the compromised Christian life. This morning I want to talk about this, the miraculous Christian life. When God does a miracle, and we touched on this a little bit when they fought Jericho and God made the walls come down. But I want to talk this morning about what God did and the miraculous. And you know, there's going to be times in our life where it seems like everything's against us. What did Jacob say in the book of Genesis? All these things are against me. That's how it felt. It seems like everything's going against us. And here we have all these enemies gathering together to fight against the Israelites, to fight against the people of Israel. And something's going on in here. Man. Turn that off. I think I'm good on the wireless, Mr. Cliff, so maybe turn off the main mic. Thank you. All right. getting me going this morning. All right. So I want to go into this. So look at this. Look at verse number eight. All these things gathering together. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Here's the first thing we have is this. And you know, God does this for us. And really, throughout the book of Joshua, God does this several times. The Lord assured Joshua. He encourages Joshua. And he says in verse number 8, he says, first says, fear them not. So God appears to Joshua. He did this back in chapter 1. He did it again before the battle of Jericho. Now he does it again as these kings have gathered against them. And so here in verse number 8, he assures him, he encourages him, and he says, I don't want you to fear. You know, anytime we fear, it brings doubt. And God talks a lot in the book of Joshua about fear, which means it's something that's real for all of us. You know, what will limit us in our Christian life a lot of times is fear. And we're afraid of what could happen. We're afraid of what others might think. We're afraid of the consequence of this, or we're afraid of how this will work out. And that fear will limit us in our spiritual life, in our Christian life. And so he wants to encourage Joshua, hey, as you head into this battle, first of all, fear them not. Don't allow that fear in, that doubt to come in because of fear. Why not? Why shouldn't he fear them? He says, for I have delivered them into thine hand. God says, it's already done. Hey, let me tell you this morning, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know, it's already done. Jesus Christ did it all for you. We don't have to fear the unknown. We don't have to fear what's going to happen to us one day. We can have an assurance that we're going to be in heaven with Jesus forever. Hey, he's taking care of that. It's already taken care of. And so as he speaks to Joshua here, he says, I want you to know something. Hey, it's already done. I've given you the victory. You can have victory over this, these enemies that you're facing. I have delivered them into your hand. And he says, there shall not a man of them stand before thee. He says, there are no man that will be able to stand. There is victory in Jesus. There is nothing that you can't face and conquer when you have Jesus. There's nothing. Bible says that comes from him, not from us, right? Nothing is impossible with God. It has to come through him, not us. But so we have the assurance that comes. He says, here's, I'm going to give you some assurance, Joshua, what I'm going to do through you. And then here's what we have to do. Look at verse number 9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. So he gets assurance from God in verse 8, and then here's our responsibility. We have to act on that assurance. Hey, when God gives you an assurance and says, fear them not, hey, I've given you the victory, then we need to get into action in that case, right? So as God gives us assurance, here's what I'm going to do in your life, here's what I'm going to do through you, then it's up to us to start to do something with that. If we, if God gives us that, hey, I'm going to help you, I'm going to be with you. You know, we know the verse says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we listen to that and we hold that verse, and that's great, a wonderful verse that we can use. But we need to act on that, right? We need to know that we can do whatever God would have us to do. He will never leave us or forsake us. But that truth, in fact, let's go here. Go to Matthew 28. I wasn't going to go there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, at the end of the chapter, the very last words in the book of Matthew, in verse number 20, here's the assurance of God. He says this, he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God says, I'll be with you wherever you go. That's the assurance from God. So what are they supposed to do? What does verse 18, 19 say? Hey, verse 19, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Hey, there's the assurance, I'll be with you always. So go to the end of the world and give the gospel out, right? That's what we're supposed to do. So the assurance from God, he says, I'm going to take care of you, but we need to act on his assurance. And so God gives us that, and he gives Joshua the same thing back in Joshua chapter 10. So first, the Lord assures Joshua, and Joshua acts on that assurance. He goes suddenly. He didn't wait. He went all night. He traveled there to go up and surprise the people there. And so number one, the Lord assures Joshua. He encourages him. Joshua acts on that assurance. And secondly, look at verse number 10. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and to Makeda. And so not only does the Lord assure Joshua, the Lord attacked the enemy. The Bible says in verse 10, he discomfited the enemy. He chased them. He smote them. He slew them. And so God fights for Israel. Look at verse number 11. And it came to pass as they fled them before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. You know, God fought for Israel. He attacked the enemy. If we'll allow God to do that, he'll attack the enemy for us. God will fight for us. And he does this. And you know, here's what happens. God always does a better job than we do, right? The Bible says that God killed more than the people. Now, Israel, Joshua and Israel, they still had a responsibility to get in the battle. Hey, God didn't say, hey, you sit here and watch, and I'm just going to take care of everything. No, they had to go forward into battle. And as they went into battle, God said, hey, I'm right here with you. In fact, I'm going to take care of more than you are. But you've got to get in the battle first. So if we're going to sit back and say, God, hey, God, I'm going through a tough time. Here, you just take care of all that. I'm going to do nothing. You take care of all of it. No, God says, get in the battle. Hey, get in the battle. As you get in the battle, I'm there to help you. In fact, I'll do greater things than you even expected. When the challenges increase, the need for God increases, right? And as these challenges increase for the people of Israel, hey, God always does greater for us. And so God took on more responsibility. He said, I'll take care of you. But they had a responsibility to get in the battle. The Lord assured Joshua. He said, Joshua, here's what I'm going to do. And then the Lord followed through on that, and he attacked the enemy. And then I want to spend the rest of our time on this, because this is what God will do for us. He attacked the enemy for Joshua. He assured him. But then, thirdly, the Lord answered prayer. Look at verse number 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hastened not to go down about a whole day. Joshua, in verse number 12, speaks to God. And this is in the midst of the battle, by the way. This is not a timeout in the battle. This is in the midst of the battle. As you try to imagine the people of Israel as they're fighting against the Canaanites, and those hailstones are coming down. Now, we know God is in control, so those Joshua and his people, they weren't having to dodge, all right? God can pinpoint, if man can pinpoint those things in this day and age, God can pinpoint that, and God was making sure that only the enemy was hit. But Joshua, as he's there, he looks around and he sees, boy, they have a difficult time. They have a difficult time completing this victory that God has given them because the sun's starting to go down. And so Joshua speaks in verse 12, speaks to the Lord, and he says, and this is, man, this is, as he does this, to notice a couple things in verse number 12. It says, first of all, in the middle of the verse, it says, and he said in the sight of Israel. You know, Joshua spake and he asked something from God in front of everybody. Now, as we talk about prayer, the Bible tells us in the New Testament very clear that, you find a time by yourself and pray. There's nothing wrong with public prayer, and we get opportunity to do that sometimes. But really, your public prayer should be short, your private prayer should be long. And your public prayer should not be for attention. It's not to get attention. So we don't do things publicly to try to get attention for ourselves. But this is a prayer that God, that Joshua is speaking out to God in the sight of Israel. He's doing it in front of everybody. And this isn't just your normal prayer. This is saying, God, make the sun and the moon stand still. This is faith, right? And although we're not supposed to take our works before men and show them what we are supposed to live out our faith in front of people. You know, sometimes as Christians, we're not real good at that. We're not real good at taking a stand and living out our faith. Joshua's putting himself out here. Hey, what if the sun doesn't stand still, right? What if the moon doesn't stand still and all Israel's going to say, boy, what are you doing? No, but Joshua said, I have this faith in God. I'm going to live out my faith before these people. And I'm going to show them what faith really looks like. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 and the disciples. They brought one that was demon-possessed to them, and they couldn't do anything with him. Jesus was able to heal them, and Jesus rebuked them. And look at verse 19 of Matthew 17. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? So why couldn't we do that? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not by prayer, but by prayer and fasting. He says, boy, you better have first a foundation of prayer and fasting. Let me tell you something. He said, the reason that God couldn't use you to do something is because of your lack of faith. So much that we can't accomplish for God is not because of what God can't do. No, God can do anything. The problem is our lack of faith. And Joshua lived out his faith in front of these people. And he was willing to put himself out there as an example. Hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm gonna ask God for something. He says, sun and moon, stand still. Back to Joshua chapter 10. And the verse we read to get us started in this story, verse 14. And there was no day like that before or after it, no other day like it before or after, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Hey, Joshua asked for that. And it's amazing, you know, we think about in the New Testament, I've told this when I'm teaching our young people Bible in the school, we see all the miracles that Jesus did in the New Testament. And we go through all those and say, man, that's amazing. But of course, he was Jesus, right? He was Jesus. But you know what it takes? All it takes is the faith of man and the power of God together. You know, in the New Testament, you know what Jesus did? He said, hey, winds, be still, right? Waves, be calm. Oh, man. I mean, Jesus had control over nature. And you know what Joshua did? Joshua said, sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. That's control over nature. Not Joshua's control, no. That's the power of God through Joshua. Hey, you look in the New Testament, you say, hey, Jesus, boy, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Hey, you can go to the Old Testament, you can go to the New Testament, you can see men with the power of God in their lives raise people back from the dead. Hey, it's not, boy, I don't know if we can, no, the problem is our lack of faith. And Joshua, he lived out his faith. There was no day before that or after that where God hearkened unto the voice of man like he did to Joshua on that day. Verse number 15, and Joshua returned, and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave. And so these kings go, and they are able to continue in verse number 13 to avenge themselves upon the enemies. You know, there's no day before or after like that. I want to finish up over the next few minutes with this. Look at verse number 14, the end of the verse. It says, for the Lord fought for Israel. A God fought for Israel. Because of Joshua's faith, because of what the people of Israel were doing, God fought for them. But here's what I want you to think about. As Joshua asked for a miracle from God, Joshua looked around as the battle was going on. It wasn't that he was worried about being defeated. God had already assured him that he was going to get the victory. That's not what he was worried about. But he was worried about, he looks at the sun and the moon and says, boy, we're not going to be able to finish what God told us to do. And so he asked for a miracle from God. Let me ask you this morning. I'll get you to raise your hand this morning just to make sure you're half awake. How many of you at some time in your life, you prayed and you said words something like this, God, maybe for a family member, maybe for somebody that you maybe didn't know real well, but you heard about their situation, and you said something like to the effect of this, God, I'm asking for a miracle, or God, we need a miracle. How many of you ever prayed something like that to God, we need a miracle, I'm asking for a miracle? Vast majority of you this morning. And again, it may have been something that somebody you didn't even know, could have been somebody you did know, but you heard about something, Lord, we need a miracle. You know, Joshua asked for a miracle from God. He asked God, he said, God, I need a miracle. I need the sun to stand still. I need the moon to stand still. You know what that, by the way, you know what that entails? And God's the one that set it all up. That means the earth just sort of needs to stop, right? And, you know, God that could create the earth can do any of that. I'm not in any way wondering whether God could do that. But that's a lot that God had to do for Joshua. But, you know, Joshua asked for a reason. You know, Joshua, let me give you a couple things he didn't ask for. He did not ask for a miracle to make his life easier. You know, sometimes I say, Lord, would you heal me of this? Or, Lord, would you take care of this? Or maybe somebody we love and care about. Hey, Lord, would you intervene here? Boy, that would make our life a whole lot easier. Joshua wasn't asking for his life to be easier. And if we're not careful, sometimes we're going through a trial and we just want to say, God, just make it easier on us. Make it easier on me. Hey, there could be a reason God's putting you through that. Hey, there could be a reason these five kings got together to fight against Joshua. Joshua's not asking to make life easier. Joshua's not asking for a miracle for worldly fame or for worldly pleasure. Hey, it wasn't something, I need a miracle from God so that everybody will listen to me or respect me or, no, that wasn't what he's asking for a miracle for. No, there was not for worldly pleasure, not for worldly fame, not to make life easier. You know what he wanted? Joshua asked for a miracle so that he could serve God more and fulfill God's will. Let me ask you something as we think about this morning. That miracle you're asking God for, that prayer you're asking God to answer, what are you going to do if he does answer that prayer? Hey, what are you going to do with the miracle God gives you? What are you going to do with it? Well, I'll tell you, the reason I'm praying for that is because boy, that would make things a whole lot easier for me. Boy, that would be a lot off of me. Hey, if we're asking for something from God to make it easier on ourselves or in any way to get any credit, what are you going to do if God gives you that miracle? What are you going to do if God answers that prayer? I want you to look at verse 40 of Joshua chapter 10. Joshua said, God, I need a miracle. And God gave him a miracle. And look what Joshua did. Look at verse number 40, Joshua 10. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. Verse 42, and all these kings in their land and Joshua take at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Why did he do that? Because Joshua said, I need a miracle so I can finish what you told me to do. Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. In John chapter 4, Jesus sees the woman at the well get saved, leads her to the Lord, and his disciples come by in John chapter 4, and they ask him if he wants something to eat. Remember what he tells them? What does he tell his disciples? I have meat to eat that you know not of, right? And boy, they're so confused with that. They said, man, did somebody bring some food for you? And Jesus answers them in John chapter 4, and he says this, he says, my meat is what? To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Look at John chapter 17 as Jesus prays to his Father. In verse number 1, these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Look at verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Let me tell you something this morning. If you're asking for something from God for any other reason than to glorify him and finish the work he's given you to do, you're asking for the wrong reasons. Hey, Joshua said, I need a miracle, Lord. Hey, I need a miracle from you because I'm looking around and I'm not going to have time. I need to finish what you told me to do. Hey, this morning, ask God for a miracle. Ask God to answer your prayer so you can continue to finish the work he's given you. So many times, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this. And God may say, listen, that may not be best for you. But if we're asking God for something so we can finish his work, Jesus says, I finished it, right? I finished the work you have given me to do. Joshua finished the work. The Lord God fought for Israel because Joshua took and did what God commanded when God gave him a miracle. Boy, a lot of times we want a miracle. God, I need a miracle. So what if he gives it to you? What are you going to do? You going to do something with it? Or are you just going to go off? Oh, boy. Hey, God, thanks for healing. Thanks for taking care of me. Thanks for being there for me. Well, I'm going to keep living the same way I'm living. Hey, let me ask you this. If God did a miracle in your life, wouldn't you want to do more for him than you ever have before? So don't ask God for a miracle if you're not going to do something with it. Say, God, I need the miraculous Christian life as God does a miracle so you can do more for him than you ever have before in your life. Lord, you heal me. Oh, Lord, I need a miracle. I need you because I want to do something great for you. That's what Joshua did. He asked God for a miracle. Said, God, I need it because I've got a little bit more work to finish for you. Father, I pray that you'd help each of us this morning to not waste the time that we have, the opportunity that we have. Lord, I don't know what everybody's going through. There's some here this morning, maybe they feel like everything's against them. All the kings have gathered together. All the enemies have gathered together to fight against them. And Lord, first I pray that you'd assure them of victory because it comes through you. And Lord, you are willing to take care of us and help us. And also, Lord, I pray for each person here this morning as they fight those battles in the Christian life to realize as we pray and we ask for your miracles, Lord, help us to use them to further your work, to complete what you've told us to do. Lord, so many times we get bogged down on ourselves and we want this and we want that and we wish it was better. And Lord, if we're not going to use it for your glory, why would you give it to us? Lord, I pray there's someone here who's not saved. Maybe they never trusted you, Lord, and they need that assurance of salvation. They need to know for sure their own way to heaven. Lord, you've done it for them. You've taken care of all of it. Help them to realize their need for you. And as we're going through a trial and a struggle, Lord, help us to know you're there. And you promised that, Lord, you'll be there. And Lord, you'll take care of us. And there'll be times in this chapter where there'll be some miracles from God. Lord, help us not to waste those miracles. Help us not to just listen to those answers of prayer and not determine to do something with what you've done for us. In Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you this morning again, not a salvation message necessarily, but if you're here this morning, you say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. If I was to die today, I know I'd wake up. When the roll's called up yonder, I will be there. There's no doubt in my mind that I'll be there in heaven with Jesus. If you can say that this morning, just slip your hand up and say, I know I'm saved this morning. You can put your hand right back down. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, listen, I'm not sure, that assurance, that certainty. I can't say I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, you, by the way, you don't have to live life like that. You can know for sure. The Bible tells us that. We can know that we have eternal life. If you're here this morning, you say, listen, I'm just not sure about my salvation. I don't know for sure if I'm saved. I won't embarrass you. I won't call on you at all, but if you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, I'm just not sure about my salvation. Let me ask you this. Do you need a miracle from God? Do you need prayer answered? When God does that, what are you going to do with it? You just going to keep living the same way you have? You just going to keep serving at the same level you have? Or when God answers that prayer, when God gives you that, are you going to say, man, I'm going to use what God's done for me and finish His work. As the music plays this morning, as the Lord spoke to you, you come forward.
Enjoy the afternoon. Be back tonight. We'll have service at 6 o'clock. And then again, if you haven't signed up for a sign language class, you can do that. And then Wednesday night, 6:30, Master Club, 7 o'clock service. I've gone a little over the last couple weeks, so I want to give you a little bit back. So let it be known, it's not even 12 o'clock yet, all right? And you are out of church, so you're out before 12. So be back in tonight. If I don't see you tonight, we'll see you next Sunday. Father, thank you again for all you do for us. Give us a great week. Thank you for all you do for us in our lives. And Lord, help us not take for granted your miracles. And bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.